I started at Footway in October of 2013, really, as, you know, I really didn't think it through very much, but I have 12 years of my own recovery now. And my daughter, when I found out that my daughter was using heroin, it was an animal of a different color. And the things that had worked for me weren't really working for her. And all of the things that us families experience, the frustration, the worry, the misunderstanding, and all of that was what was happening to me. And I thought, with my recovery and still being so mystified, I started thinking about all the other families that didn't know anything. And I imagined the guy meeting his neighbor outside. One neighbor says, "Hey, how you doing?" The other guy says, "I'm doing great," but he's really going to Lowe's to get a new lawnmower. And he's not disclosing to his neighbor that his son stole his lawnmower because he's a drug addict. Because we don't raise our kids to be addicts. We do everything we can to guide our kids and have them, you know, and so how does this happen? And so I wanted to educate families, and I wanted to educate them using people in recovery or people who are looking for recovery. Because even if they're not there yet, they still can help educate us on why they do what they do and how we can best support them during any of the times when they're either actively using or changing to be motivated to get help or actually in recovery. And it's every path along the way is difficult for everyone.
I think there are very few families untouched by the current crisis that's taking place today. And you mentioned that even going through your own recovery, that you were shocked to find out that your daughter was...
Had
experimented or was using heroin. Can you talk a little bit about why that was so shocking for you?
Sure. Well, number one, she was terrified of needles. I would have to call up our medical provider and warn them when they would be taking blood that she was going to go ballistic. So the fact that she was so afraid of needles and then she was using them, I really could not even understand that at all. I knew she was using drugs, but I think for us a little bit older folks, back in our day, you know, using heroin was something that those people did over there. And we didn't do that. There was some type of fear that somehow we had that's not there today. You know, and so our perspective on it is like, oh my God, wow, you know, how did this happen? And just way more prevalent today with not that fear that we had. And so as a result, what FOA turned into was initially a support group. And we started our first meeting November 6th, 2013. So there wasn't a whole lot of time. Like, I didn't develop a curriculum or anything. This was really all about people helping people. And, you know, so what I say now is we make the roller coaster shorter and smoother, but you're not getting off. And there's all different spots on that roller coaster, and they change. Nothing is ever really exactly the same. The relapse last time isn't the same as the relapse this time. And, you know, and so there's always someone who's been where you're headed that can help you with that. But then shortly after I started the weekly meetings, I saw the Anonymous People movie. And we had the pleasure of having Greg Williams, who made that movie, come visit us. And that was just like huge because of that movie, that's where we started speaking out and not being anonymous and letting other families know that we're there for them and letting the cameras into our meetings and really having the people that are attending not mind, understanding that we need to let other families know that they're not alone and that we're eliminating that stigma associated with us families. We're stigmatized horribly as well as parents, and the advice we get is really crazy. And it's like people that haven't walked in our shoes to deliver judgments and what we should be doing is crazy, because until you experience it, you'll never know what you would do, you know? So that's how we went from support and advocacy. And that's why we have the rally every year. And that's why you see us on the news and in the paper and et cetera, because we're just not, you know, we're so tactful. We have so much integrity and we do it in a very nice way. So it's not like we're angry and we're pushing stuff on people, but that some advocacy agencies and anger produces advocacy. That's true. But we don't, we're just a very, like I said, we're very polite about how we do things.
Before we talk a little bit more about the work you're doing, you mentioned that for previous generations like ours, that heroin was really the scariest thing on taking place on the block, and you rarely saw it. Today, there's a lot of talk about the stigma that goes with opioid use and drug abuse. Do you think you can go too far with removing the stigma, or do you think things are on the right path with kind of how the social message is getting out?
Things are different, I believe. Some people, some listeners may not agree, but I believe that the explosion of the painkillers changed the whole dynamic of opioid addiction. And as a result, there are so many people that got addicted to opiates by being prescribed pain medication after an injury that never saw it coming or never did anything, didn't hang around with the wrong crowds and all of that stuff, and didn't know what was happening. So number one, in that case, I don't think that was happening. I mean, how many years ago? 25 years? How old am I? I'm 58. So, you know, that's a lot of years ago when I was 16, 17, 18, 20, early 20s. So I feel like that has changed it a lot. And so in that respect, someone who accidentally gets addicted because no one told them that this could happen shouldn't be stigmatized in any way. Then it needs to be treated as a chronic illness that has no cure, but it has a solution. That's what I always say. And that's a quote out of that movie. And so I do feel like treatment needs to be available when you want it, because there's a small window of time when you're ready. So treatment needs to be available when people are ready. However, this really truly is the kind of illness where you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You have to reach a point. And even if our loved ones reach that point, it doesn't always mean that they're able to follow through. And that doesn't mean that they didn't mean it or anything like that. And that's the whole point of getting yourself educated, is just because they started to access help and weren't able to make the mark doesn't mean that they really weren't trying or really weren't dedicated. But opiates is so powerful and so gripping and takes over all of the I think they call them the saline senses or something, like our motivators to keep ourselves alive, you know, food, breathing, all of that. And opiates goes right above all of that. And so when you're not able to think and make decisions based on your safety and your health, that's how all of this happens. And so it's a fine line. You know, in a lot of respects, we need to let them reach that point. If we don't let them reach that point, then they may not ever get there. And that point and that process is different for every family and every person and every different relapse or scenario. And that's what it's telling you. It's never exactly the same. You know, what I do today is different than what I did 5-6 years ago.
And just briefly summarize for me, you've referenced the movie Anonymous, documentary film?
Mm-hmm. The Anonymous People movie, yeah. That I saw really early on, and it's about the 23 million people in long-term recovery that aren't saying anything. So we have our recovery groups that we attend, 12-step, you know, faith-based, whatever it may be, that's working. But we're not coming out of those groups and saying something. Now, since I started this 5 years ago, there's lots of people talking. But I truly believe 5 years ago, we were one of the few people that was out there talking about it freely. And I don't want to say joyfully, but talking about it in a way that, hey, just because our loved ones have this illness doesn't mean that we need to be sucked into it and have a horrible life too. Guess what? People can and do recover. And guess what? Families can and do recover also. And so that's kind of our message, is that, you know, celebrating those that are making it. I mean, there are so many that we're losing, and there needs to be some solution action-based activities that are going on. Or as a community and as a nation, we will get into a mode of depression that we're never going to get out of this. And so that's where we just give tons of hope and love to everyone around us that people can and do recover. And that could be you or your loved one also.
And moving back to some of the work that you're doing, you do have a Families of Addiction Rally for Recovery coming up. Let's talk about that.
We do. August 26th. So it's under 2 weeks away. We're, getting all of our final pieces in place. And this is our fifth one. We are expecting at least 3,000 people to show up. We've got a lot of media coverage, and also WYSO, thank you for your sponsorship on that.
Sure.
So reaching a lot more people, and it's really just 3 hours. It's short 3 hours. A couple reasons. We don't like our vendors to be out on Sunday all day, and because as a vendor, I know what that feels like. And then also, we like to capture what we call the big picture. And the big picture is going to happen at about 4:30 this year. We do a really quick sobriety countdown. So anyone who has any length of sobriety will be called up by that length to the front of the stage, in front, you know, on the square. And then we snap a picture of those people in recovery, and then we ask all of our, anyone else who's been touched by addiction to enter in the picture. And then it's amazing to see the difference between our people in recovery and everyone who's affected. And a lot of times those everyone, those others, are not who our funds and our programs are helping. A lot of our funding and programs is helping people access recovery, which we need. I'm not going to like say we don't, but it's, I call us the forgotten family sometimes, because, you know, families can be, not always, but can be, especially the ones that never saw it coming, the most stable part of the equation. And without educating and embracing them like we do, we're missing the point that they could actually be a great support system. And so that's the picture that gets published with everybody, and people love to be in the picture, and they get depressed when they're not in it. And even though you can't see a face, they'll go, I'm right there. So people are like really proud to be representing our community in this faith and hope and positive way. And so that's a really big thing. We do a eco-friendly balloon launch, which is really, really impactful. Josh is going to do a really about a 30-second spiel on what the balloon launch did for him the first time he saw it, which I never even realized how people were impacted by it. And that's going to happen right after the big picture. And we've got over 50 resources this year on the square. We like to keep it to 50, but we just had so many that wanted to be there, and I thought it was important that they were. So we're doubling up on the ones on some of the standard resources that aren't sponsors. So we have a total of actually 63 now. And we have a map that says exactly how to maneuver through those resources, so that if you only want to hit one or two, you know, okay, they're you know, 4 and 10, I'm going to go here and here. So you don't spend a whole lot of time trying to find what you're looking for. It's all going to be mapped out by number, by resource, where they're at. And so, I mean, even if people don't want to identify and don't want to get excited about recovery, at least go see the resources if you have a loved one or yourself who is suffering with this, because it is all going to be laid out for you right there. So the resource is another thing. Rising Life Band is awesome. They're a faith-based band that's got great melodies, great songs, great messages. And although we're not a faith-based organization, we love faith-based. That's one of the pathways to peace. And so they're just a really, really great band and people. Food trucks, what else? TapSnap, which is digital photos that'll be shared on social media. A raffle. We got over $2,500 in raffle. I mean, like, you just can't lose. And then I'm just going to say, don't forget to check out our birthday blessings bear. It's going to be a tent, and it's based on a donation, but it's the cutest little FOA bear. And all of the dollars from that will go to our Birthday Blessings Hardship Fund, which we use to directly help people when they reach out and they have a barrier and they just need a little bit of dollars to pay a fine or get a bus pass. I mean, we've gone from bus passes to beds, you know, help people with their needs. And so 100% of that profit will go to our Birthday Blessings Fund. Like I said, the bear is like really, really cute.
The FOA Rally for Recovery is August 26th. It runs from 3 to 6 p.m.
Yep.
And takes place on Courthouse Square in downtown Dayton. That's at 3rd and Main Streets, right downtown. And there's some important training taking place before and after the rally, yes, that I think people will want to know about.
Yes. Project Dawn and Samaritan have partnered with us to provide Narcan training before and after. So that's going to be 2 to 3. And then again, it's 6 to 7. That's going to be held in the collaboratory office, which I call the CVS corridor, which is between KeyBank and CVS. In there, we're going to have people with signs that say Narcan training, so you can easily find it. And I really suggest that you register on our website, foafamilies.org. You'll see the Narcan training drop down from the rally. And it's just a very simple form to get you on our list. That way we know how many people to accommodate.
Great. And people can get more information at foafamilies.org. We've been speaking with Lori Arion. She is the founder and executive director of Families of Addicts. Lori, thanks so much for your time and the information you've given us today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this. I mean, it's just really, really important that our communities get educated and know that they're not alone and know that there is help out there.
Thank you.